I think so. Okay, that's good. This is just a little Pepsi bottle and just an introductory illusion. Pastor doesn't like the other word, so it's an illusion in particular. You notice the little Pepsi bottle has just a small opening. If you try to put a quarter at the beginning of the opening, it won't go in. A quarter won't fit in a Pepsi bottle normally, but we can do illusions. And then the little quarter fits right there in the Pepsi bottle. And kind of interesting, we find a woman in our study tonight who was having a problem trapped up inside of her. I think of, first of all, a gal named Jean, who many years ago was in California, Hollywood, California, and there at the Presbyterian Church of Hollywood, California, where Pastor Lloyd John Ogilvie was the pastor many years ago, back in the 80s, she came forward to ask for prayer. And she had asked for prayer before because she had cancer, but now she had a different problem. Her husband had divorced her because of the cancer. He wanted nothing to do with her any longer. And she was distraught, not knowing what to do. Emotionally, she was a wreck. Everything ached inside of her. There was more stress on her life. And so she came to the pastor and the elders to ask for prayer. Would they pray for her and help this emotional ache to go away? The problem was she was full of resentment for her former husband and could not forgive him, because before the ink was dry on the divorce papers, he had already remarried to another person. He was already in another relationship. What a sad state of affairs that must have been. But then on top of it, now she came this morning and she said, I just went to the doctor the other day and the cancer that was in my body and released and in remission, it's back. So she had not only the emotional ache and stress, but she had the cancer once again. Again, they prayed. This was back in the early 80s, and they prayed and found God able to answer. And she was not only relieved of the cancer at the time, but also relieved of that emotional stress and ache that came to her. In our record, as we look at it here in the scriptures tonight, let's turn to Numbers chapter 15. This is an Old Testament book, of course. Hopefully you can find that one okay. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. Here we find an interesting story. Verse 37, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and tell them that throughout their generations they are to make tassels for the corners of their garments and to put a blue cord on the tassel of each corner. A blue cord. Notice, these will serve as tassels for you to look at so that you may remember all the Lord's commands and obey them and not become unfaithful by following your own heart and your own eyes. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. I can't think of the Holman, Christian Standard Bible. And so if it throws you, I'm sorry. But I've grown to love this one. This is one of the newest versions that's been out now in the last couple of years. One day a woman like Jean came before the Lord Jesus Christ, and she had a need. She wanted to contact Jesus about her need and this disease that was in her body. For 12 long years, she suffered with a hemorrhage of blood. But first of all, another person came to Jesus. There were two critical ones that day. The first one was Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. And he had a little daughter who was dying. So he was concerned. And as they started on their way to the house of Jairus to try to deal with the daughter, Jesus met this woman who had an issue of blood. She came in the midst of the crowd. There was a great crowd of people following the Lord Jesus Christ. And she touch the tassel of his garment. She wanted to touch him. She wanted to touch his garment. And that little blue cord was a reminder to the Hebrews of their faith, their trust in God, their hope in him. And yet she found herself in this place of sadness, this sorry situation. She had a sorry situation because, first of all, she was a woman. You know how women were treated in this day in which Jesus lived? They were inferiors. They were treated like slaves. They were treated like children and considered just like cattle, just something common and regular in the community. The woman was not allowed to go into the temple. She could go into the court of the Gentiles and go no further. She had to stop right there. She couldn't enter into the fullness of the temple. She could not study the law, the very book that we just looked at, Numbers, for instance, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. She couldn't study those books at all. Not only that, she couldn't pronounce a benediction at their fellowship times when they met together. A woman was not allowed to do a lot of things. A woman could not be a witness in court. Just like the shepherds, you know, we'll be thinking of them in a couple of weeks. And they were just like a shepherd, considered in those days. A woman was good for only one thing to the Jewish man. That was to bear male babies. They wanted babies. They wanted an heir. They wanted one to come, as it were, into the family. She was an outcast. But Jesus broke the taboo of this dear woman and the problem that she had for those 12 long years. She had seen many doctors, the scriptures tell us. And the scriptures are found, first of all, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 to 22. And then again in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. And then in Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48. She had spent all of these 12 years trying to find a cure for illness. But there was no cure to be found. There was no help for her. Can you imagine having this disease for 12 long years and there was no medical help for her? She was a woman, first of all. I think of the wonder of her trying to reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ. She saw she was discovered, it says, and she told the crowd the reason why she had come and wanted to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, often these women who had this particular problem of hemorrhaging could not be touched by anyone. Learn with me the reality of it as we look back at Leviticus. Leviticus 15, and beginning to read at verse 25. When a woman has a discharge of her blood for many days, though it is not the time of her menstruation, or if she has a discharge beyond her period, she will be unclean all the days of her unclean discharge, as she is during the days of her menstruation. Any bed she lies on during the days of her discharge will be like her bed during the menstrual impurity. Any furniture she sits on will be unclean as in her menstrual period. Everyone who touches them will be unclean. He must wash his clothes and bathe with water, and he will remain unclean until the evening. This woman was physically ill, and that physical illness caused her pain not only for a moment, but she was, in a word, perpetually a menstruant. Perpetually that blood ran. Some of us have that problem of bleeding sometimes. A pastor has it. I have it. And it's sometimes a very discouraging thing. You don't know what to do with it and how to stop it. And especially when we think of this woman for 12 long years. And then she was socially ostracized. She was socially not able to come. But the wonder is that as Christ allowed this woman to touch, she was instantly cured. Her bleeding stopped instantly, the scripture says. this tremendous suffering occurred in her body. She was medically abused, as you think about it, and abused so much in the way of her life. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, if I can get my eyes fixed on it again. Mark 5, and noticing again at verse 25. Mark 5, 25. A woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. No help at all. On the contrary, she became worse. Having heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his robe. Notice she heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did she hear about Jesus? Well, her neighbors must have told her. We have a tremendous responsibility to share Jesus Christ with all that we come in contact with. This woman could not be get together out of the problem by anything that she could do herself. There was no help to her from any doctor as well. There was no medicine she could take to help her. And yet, she was indeed helpless in all of this. Again, look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and reading down at verse 43. Luke chapter 8, and down to verse 43. A woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years, who had spent all she had on doctors, yet could not be healed by any, approached from behind and touched the tassel of his robe. Instantly, her bleeding stopped. Jesus brought this great miracle in a moment, as it were. And what a joy it was to realize his power, his might. When we pray, we know we have the answers from the Lord. She had a special need, and she lifted up that need before the one who could really help, the Lord. You remember 1 Peter 5, 7. Pastor Travis reminded us of this morning. Casting all of your care upon him because he what? Cares for you. Jesus takes care for you. You don't have to have the cares, as it were, for your problem. Jesus takes care for you, for all of the problem that you have. What we're reminded of again in Philippians 4, verse 6, as we pray, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry, be happy. I wrote on a pin many, many years ago. That was one of my designs that I did. You may have seen it many, many years back. But in Philippians 4, 6, when we come to the Lord and pray and supplicate and keep seeking him, he can make known to us all of the realities that he wants to teach us day by day. He makes known to us the knowledge of his will. We can speak to God, and then from God comes the answers. What a joy it is to pray and to seek him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Let's think about this woman for a moment and some of these people otherwise who came to Jesus and found help. For instance, Peter's mother-in-law came to the Lord Jesus Christ one day with a fever, and they brought Jesus in, and she was dying there and seemed to have died even with a fever. And the story is told in Mark chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 4. Jesus raised her up again from the fever, and she was able to wait on those who were there indeed in the house. What a precious thing it is to know that Jesus Christ can heal our diseases. Mary Magdalene was a very simple person, but in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, it tells her how many demons were inside of her. Do you know how many? Seven demons. Seven demons inside of Mary Magdalene. And Jesus was able to cast out those seven demons that were inside of her. How precious it is that he has the wonder-working power. Jesus alone is the miracle-working one who can take away all of our diseases, all of our problems. Here was a lady who not just for 12 years, but it tells us in the scripture in Luke chapter 13 that she for 18 years was bent over. She was leaning on a crutch, as I sort of picture it here, and yet Jesus was able to restore her, to give her the use of her limbs once again. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, healed Mary Magdalene, and then later he's going to perform this great miracle for Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and Jairus' daughter would be brought back to life. And then again, there was another woman later on in the record who was a Canaanite, a Syrophoenician, and that woman's daughter was dead, but was brought back to life by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had compassion. He cared about the hopeless sinner, especially about those who had life-threatening diseases. And this woman knew she was sick. How often people don't even appreciate the fact that they've got a problem. This woman knew she had a problem. Look with me at Revelation chapter 3. You remember the church at Laodicea? Revelation chapter 3. These churches that are represented here in the book of Revelation are interesting. And this was a church who was like people today, you know. I can do it. I've got all I need. I don't need Jesus. Ever had somebody tell you that? Well, that's what this church was saying. Look down at verse 17. Revelation chapter 3 and down at verse 17. Because you say, I'm rich, I have become wealthy, I need what? Nothing. I need nothing. I don't need you. And you don't know that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. These are the words God uses for people outside of Christ, people who are in their sin. The wonder is the Lord Jesus Christ reached out to all who had a need, and he reaches out to all who have the problem of sin in their life. What's that great problem of sin? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all else and desperately wicked, I think it says in the King James Version. I like this Holman Christian Standard Bible because it says, the heart is deceitful above all else, not just desperately wicked, it's incurable. You know, God doesn't try to fix up the old heart, does he? God doesn't try to repair it. He doesn't try to paint it up. He doesn't try to put some putty in there. He doesn't try to give it some extra help. But God says in the Old Testament record so often, I'm going to put a new heart within my people who will seek me with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind. How important to let God take care of our needs, to let God speak to our heart, speak to our life. She was a hopeless sinner, this woman with a 12-year problem of the blood. And yet the wonder is, as Dr. Rye reminded us, he's the one that said she was like a hopeless sinner. Her whole case reminds us of a sinner who's hopeless. There's no way out. There's no way to get it solved. No earthly person could help her. No earthly doctor could help her. Let's think of some of the doctors who perhaps could help a person like her. I think about the names of some doctors that we might give them. For instance, there's Dr. Resolution. He's coming up real soon, the end of the year. You know, you make a resolution, I'm going to be different. You just got to turn over a new leaf, the doctor says. You just got to become a new man, a new woman. No, it doesn't work by earthly means. It doesn't work by our deciding to do something about it. In fact, in Romans chapter 7, let's see what Paul had to say when he started to look inside of himself. He said, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. No good thing. Notice that Romans 7, verse 24. Romans 7, verse 24. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this dying body? Our bodies are dead. We don't have life. And only God can give us life. Only God can breathe life into us. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. How often we make a resolution and right away we break it before the end of January and nothing comes true that we promised in all of this. And then let's look at Dr. Character. The doctor holds up the idea of a lofty ideal. Well, just follow the Ten Commandments, you know. Or read and understand and study the Sermon on the Mount and do everything in the Sermon on the Mount and you will be perfect. That's what it says, doesn't it? You will be perfect like your Father in heaven. But there's only one who was ever perfect, and that was Jesus Christ himself. We're not perfect. We fail. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short. They don't measure up to God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't measure up to God's glory. We don't measure up to God at all. And then the example. Back at the turn of the century, there was the writing of a book by Charles Sheldon, I think it was, In His Steps. Maybe you've seen the little bracelets that people wear. WWJD. What would Jesus do? You know, and he holds up the model of Jesus Christ and says, just pattern your lives after Jesus. That's what's going to really work out. That's what's really going to help you. Can patterning our lives after Jesus really help us at all? Galatians 2, verse 20 says, and I love the, here's the only place where the confraternity is good. Confraternity version says, I'm nailed to the cross with Jesus. That's a good translation. Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? For your sin, for mine. He didn't have any sin, but he took your sin and mine on him. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not even following the model of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that model can fail us. How about Dr. Mind Over Matter? Yoga. Let's go down and practice some yoga. Let's get a new image in our head. Let's get some positive thinking, a famous preacher used to say years ago. Can positive thinking really help? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 defeats that. Again, we're defeated. What does it say? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Not obeying some Hindu in the past, not obeying some Brahma at some other point of time, but obeying Jesus Christ because we love him. Bringing every thought into that captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the little hymn that we often hear at the end of a crusade? Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. What a sorry situation this woman had. And yet Jesus called to her to himself and he said, daughter, daughter. How precious that now she could be a child of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She was 12 years, and yet all things became worse because of her condition. Nothing was getting better. She was, in the words of Leviticus that we looked at before, unclean. We are all as an unclean thing. And only the cleanliness of Jesus Christ can make a difference in our life. We see so many things trying to apply in the life of people today and trying to help them, but but only the power of Jesus can bring newness of life within. She was abused. She spent how much? All that she had. And yet, she was not healed by any. No doctor on earth can take away sin from our life. And that's the way a sinner is, helpless outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need only the Lord Jesus to take away our sin, give us newness of life. And anyone who comes to him and asks for his mercy and begs for it finds that mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ available to us day by day. You remember the words there in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 and 15? I wish that you were cold or hot, but Jesus said, you're neither cold nor hot. What were they? They were lukewarm. And how important it is that we can be victors in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we sang that song this morning, Victory in Jesus, my Savior. What a joy it is that although when the Lord would put us in his mouth and find only lukewarmness, that he's the one that can give us newness of life. He's the one that can bring the joy of life into us and bring us the joy of following him moment by moment. I think about that dear gal when they were walking along the road there. Suddenly they came and they said to Jairus, your daughter is dead. Your daughter is dead. She was only daughter to Jairus. And she was at death's door. She was about ready to indeed die. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ could speak to her. What did he tell her to do? Get up. Get up. And she arose. What a joy it is that he alone can bring newness of life for all who believe. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. The sad thing is we've got a sinful heart, like the doctor trying to examine the patient here. And that's the problem. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can take away our sin. He loved us. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. There's no other way to get that sin out of our heart and out of our life. Remember the reminder of those doctors. By the way, we left one out. We better add him in. Dr. Churchman, the last one. Somebody says, go to the church, get baptized, join the church, obey the commandments, and you're going to be all right. But Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Only the washing of that newness of life that the Lord Jesus Christ brings can bring us the joy of faith and trust in him. Look at her desperate faith as we think about it. Jesus turned and he said, who touched me? Now that was a strange question. When you see it there, even in the scriptures, who touched me? Remember, he's in a crowd of people. And suddenly this woman who knew she couldn't be touched by somebody else decided she was going to reach out and touch Jesus. And as she did, there was that faith. And then she made it personal. How important it is to come to him in personal faith. Personal faith that has the joy of knowing Jesus Christ within our heart. And a new heart that he indeed brings within us. Only he is able to provide faith for us. Only he can provide that new heart and newness of life in him. I think about the importance of what it is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ today. To come to his word, come to the scriptures, Look at Romans chapter 10 briefly with me. Romans chapter 10, notice at verse 8. On the contrary, what does it say? The message is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Oh, the joy to know the hope that is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. I will hear what the Lord will speak. Do you take time to read your Bible, to speak to him? Because that's where he can speak to you. That's where he can make it plain. I created a little different slide here. If I can find it, I think it's at the end, so I'm going to pull it forward here. That's where we meet Jesus. That's where this woman could be Jesus. That's where any woman today can sit down with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dwight L. Moody, the founder of the great Bible Institute there in Chicago, one day sat down and he said, I prayed for many, many years for somehow God to give me faith that it would come down like a lightning bolt out of heaven and just put it right into me. But he says, it didn't come. I worked so many years trying to find faith and I couldn't find it. And then one day I sat down and I read Romans 10:17. What does it say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Hearing by the Word of God. How precious it is that you can have a personal time with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What did he say in John chapter 5, verse 39? Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of who? Me. Of Jesus. How do you know Jesus Christ today? How do you touch Jesus Christ today? When you open up your Bible and ask him to make himself real to you as you read, as you study. How important it is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, he that confesses me here on the earth, I will confess before my Father in heaven. You remember these two men, Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea? They went and sought for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ after he was dying there upon Calvary. And they placed that body in a brand new tomb, it tells us. But they were what you call closet disciples. It's not the kind of disciples Jesus really wants. He says, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father in heaven. God's not interested in closet disciples today. He wants disciples that he can tell his Father about. He wants disciples who will follow him daily, moment by moment, and have the joy of fellowship with him moment by moment. How precious it is to go to him. To go to him and go to him and find, above all, peace. Peace, Jesus Christ would come, he said. And that peace, you're going to be made free. How important to have freedom in his peace. Mark 5, verse 33, the woman came to the crowd and she told them all of the truth, all of the things that had happened, which caused she came and wanted to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. How important it is to really reach out and let the Lord Jesus Christ speak to our heart and our life today. Her faith was confirmed. For faith comes by what? Hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and that message comes from the Word of God, from Christ himself. You want to hear God speak to your heart today? Open up his word. Ask him to make himself real to you. And indeed, He will. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great joy that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the joy that this woman found who came in simple faith and wanted to touch even just the robe, as it were, the hem of the robe of the Lord Jesus Christ, the little blue tassel. She found faith by trusting him. Thank you that those who come by faith today, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we study the word of God, the word can continue to grow, and it keeps on growing ever since that day we found him. Thank you for all that we have in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.